for another Sunday morning. Lord God, we thank you for your goodness and your faithfulness, Lord God. Oh, Lord, sometimes the weeks are hard and difficult, Lord God, but you are faithful, Lord God. And through all of the ups and downs and the hardship and the tragedies and the losses and the blessing, Lord God, we say, thy will be done, Lord God. Thy will be done, thy word be done, Lord God.
Hallelujah.
Is what we speak over our lives, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, we pray that you would help us today. We pray that you would send your Holy Spirit to move, Lord, because if your Holy Spirit don't come, we won't make it, Lord God. So we pray for your Holy Spirit to come and move and work in our lives today, Lord God. Oh, Lord, forgive us, Lord God, for where we fell short, Lord God. We repent, Lord God, for where we didn't make it and where we fell short, Lord God. And we pray, come again, Lord God. Fill us again. Refresh us again. Teach us again, Lord God. Reveal yourself to us again, Lord God, for we need you, Lord God. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So today we are continuing in the lesson 30. We're almost done, guys. One more lesson and that's it. But this lesson, the word of God, and our key verse is, he is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And that's from Revelation 19:13. We're going to be doing Knowing This Name this week, but I just want to review the introduction to this lesson, which was the theme of this lesson is creativity. And we're going to talk about the creation of God, and we're going to talk about the Creator. God is the Creator. The Word of God, that's the theme of it, is that he speaks and it is. He speaks and it exists. You know, we can't figure it out. We talked about last lesson that our simple science can't figure it out and can't put it down on paper, can't put it in a book how he does what he does. That's why people have such issues with the issue of creation versus evolution, because they can't figure it out. But I'm telling you that he is the Creator, and what he has said and what he has spoken not only is for today, it goes on into tomorrow and into tomorrow. Only the Creator could do that, make what he speaks perpetual. We also talked about that he spoke love into his creation. When he created man and he breathed his breath into man, he breathed love into us. You know, the love that he had for us. And that's why he didn't abandon us. That's why he couldn't be an absentee father, because his love compelled him to just keep coming for us and keep coming for us. And the thing about love, as I said, he spoke this beautiful thing called love that we sometimes take for granted. But the thing about this love is that this love needed freedom in order to exist. You have to have freedom. Love and freedom go together, or it isn't love. You know, you can't force love. It has to be something that is chosen. So it has to have freedom. So God gave us that freedom. And even when we took his love and took the freedom that we had and we chose against him, he still came after us. Knowing all that would happen, he still came after us. He still did it anyways. And he still sent his son to go through all that he went through so that he could bring his beloved humanity back to himself. And, you know, I hope you were getting that in the introduction, just how much God loves you. And how he knew all that it would cost, and he did it anyway, just so you could be with him and I could be with him. With all of our flaws, with all of our mistakes, he still wanted us to be with him. And that's the crux of his love, his creation. He does not abandon his creation. He takes responsibility for his creation. So we're moving right into the second part of this lesson, is knowing this name, the Word of God. And the key verse here is from Jeremiah 15:16, and it says, your words were found and I ate them. See, I can just stop right there. I can just stop right there, guys. Your words were found and I ate them. I took them into myself, in other words. And your words became a joy to me and the delight of my heart. For I have been called by your name, O God, O Lord God of hosts. Hallelujah. I've been called by his name. So you've got to understand your ownership and your belonging to God. And as you belong to him and as you eat his word and take it into yourself, you become more and more of who he is and who he has created you to be. Because see, I don't want to be anything other than what the creator wanted me to be. It's like using a vacuum cleaner and taking the vacuum cleaner out on the lawn. You wouldn't take the vacuum cleaner out on the lawn and try to vacuum the lawn. Why? Because it wasn't created for that purpose. You know, but sometimes we're doing all kind of stuff that we were not created for. So I want the instructions from the Creator so I can be doing what he has called me to do, and I will function properly if I would do that. So our first part of our note says, in Revelation 19, Christ is called by several names, but central among these expressions is the title, the Word of God, being God's expression of all he is, a declaration of all of his will and works. And that's from our book on page 175. Our first point says there is a receptive part of God that denotes his omniscience of knowing all things. This receptive part of God we will never comprehend, because what he knows is too vast for our understanding. We can only wonder and believe all that he knows all. And then there is the expressive part of God that is brought into the visible realm by his spoken word. The expressive comes out of the receptive, as the scripture has said. And I'm just going to stop right there, because I want to demonstrate the difference between receptive and expressive. We have to do this a lot at our autism center, because often our children can understand words, but they can't speak words. So you have to understand, when we talk about God's receptive knowledge, it is what God knows. We don't know what God knows. You know, we cannot even probably see all that God knows. But if I say, for instance, to Rose, and I sit the fan right here, I said, Rose, give me the fan. Okay, Rose did not have to say a word for me to know that Rose knows what a fan is, because it's in her receptive, it's in her brain. She did not say a word. But if I say to Rose, hey, Rose, what is this?
It's a fan.
It's a fan. She has spoken it. That's expressive. It actually came out of her to the outside world. Now, it's a crude example, but when God speaks, what didn't exist actually comes into existence. Even though it was always in his mind, always in his heart, always there, we don't even know it until he says it, and then when he says it, it just is. So I just want you to understand the difference between the receptive of God and the expressive of God. Remember in Genesis 1, he said, God said, let there be, and there was. It was always in his mind. Human beings, mankind, you were always in his mind. But it wasn't until the fullness of time had come that he spoke you into your mother's womb. Okay, it is time for Karen to be born. So I'm going to speak Karen into her mother's womb, and I was. And that's the way that is with God's expressive. I was always in his receptive. I was always there. From the very beginning of time, I was there. But when the fullness of time had come, when July 10th, and I won't say the year, came.
July 10th.
I won't say the year, but when that particular year came, he spoke it, and I was, and that was his expressive language, that was his expressive thought that came into being. His word is within him. Everything we need is within him. Even though we cannot see it yet, it's there waiting for his timing, when then he will speak it within the expressive world, and it will be. And when it is, all we can say is, thy will be done, Lord. Thy will be done, or thy word be done, because his words are all in his receptive mind. So the scripture says about this, it says, but just as it is written in scripture, things which the eye has not seen and the ear has not heard, and which has not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him, who hold him in affectionate reverence, to obey him, and who gratefully recognize the benefits that he has bestowed. See, I just want to park right there for a second, because sometimes we want so much. We ask for so much, and often our prayers are about, Lord, do this, and Lord, do that, and Lord, 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 Lord. And we have to get to a point where we are just saying, Lord, thy will be done. Whatever you have spoken, whatever is in your mind for me, or whatever is in your mind for that person. Lord God, let your will be done. Let your word be spoken into their life so that your will be done, not my will, not what I want. You know, so we want to obey him. We want to step in obedience to him. And, you know, whatever he says do, we do, because we know that his will is what needs to take place. For God, the scripture says, verse 10 says, for God has unveiled them and revealed them to us through the Holy Spirit. For the Spirit, and I want you to really hear this in 1 Corinthians 2, it says, for the Spirit searches all things diligently, even sounding and measuring the profound depths of God, the divine counsels, and the things far beyond human understanding. You are not going to get it. I'm telling you, you're not going to get it. That's why God says, just obey me. Because even if I explained it to you, you wouldn't get it. So he just says, just obey me and draw close to my spirit. Because the spirit will search the deep things of God. God has shown me so many things, and without words, it's like without even a word, he'll just speak things into your spirit as your spirit draws close to his spirit. And verse 11 says, what person knows the thoughts and motives of a man except the man's spirit within him? So also, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. See, that's why we need to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. You know, when you accept Jesus Christ, yes, the Holy Spirit comes and he lives in you. And you know, but when you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, something beautiful happens. It's like the rosebud is there, and when the baptism comes, the rose opens up and all this fragrance and beauty comes out. So if you want to know the heart of God, then you have to draw close to his spirit. You have to take the time to draw closer and closer to his spirit. The next point on your lesson says, you were in the thoughts of God before he spoke you into being. Hallelujah. Aren't you happy about that? He whispered you into your mother's womb and you were there. Your children are born and they become a part of you as if they were always, as if they always were. Do you ever feel that about your kids? It's like, I can't imagine. I'm trying to think about my life with before my kids, and it's hard to think about life with before they came along, you know, because it was almost like they were always a part of you, you know, and now you're in this season of your life where they came and you can't imagine your life without them, because they were always a part of you, because it was always in the receptive consciousness of God that those children were coming and they were part of you. And I think that's why we feel the way we feel. We can't explain it. I said, I can't explain that. But I can't imagine life. It's hard to remember life before they came. We fit into God's creation as we were meant to, because we always existed in the receptive mind or thoughts of God. But by his lips, we entered into the visible realm where the human eye can now see us, but we were always there in his thoughts. Hallelujah. I just love that we were always there. He always knew that you would walk this earth and breathe his air. You are forever in his thoughts. If any one of us leaves this earth tomorrow, we will continue to exist within God. Do you understand that? You don't stop existing. You continue to exist because you're in his receptive mind. You know, you are always there and you always will be there throughout eternity. You will be in his thoughts and in his minds. In his mind. The next point says, however, there is more to God's creation than what the physical eye can see. There are deeper things that are only revealed by the Spirit of God. The depths of his creation, the depths of his spoken word. His express word has layer upon layer of meaning, layers of beauty and layers of love. See, we can only know the depths of his creation through his spirit. This is why you need to know the Word of God. This is why you need to study the Word of God. So you can become, the Word of God can become fascinating and it can become addicting, because even when you read scripture, it's like layer upon layer. I am fascinated by this book. That's why it stays on the New York Times bestseller list, because it's fascinating. You'll read one thing one time and you'll go back and read the exact same scripture and the Holy Spirit will give you a totally different revelation on it, because it's multifaceted. It's layered upon layer, precept upon precept, and it is the Word of God. It is what is spoken from His lips. This book was inspired by many authors to come together into this one book that stands, that has stood the test of time, and will continue to stand the test of time. So again, we understand the power and the beauty and the fascination of the Word of God, because it's layered upon layer. It will take your lifetime to get it all. And that's why you have to just continue studying and coming closer and coming closer to Him. The next point on your lesson says, the human being is not just body, but also soul and spirit. Again, what is spoken from God's mouth has layers on it. So the human being is not just a body. We also have a soul, and we also have a spirit. The human being spoken from the lips of God and then breathed into by Him can only be fully understood by the Spirit of God, the Creator. And I want you to take that, what we just read, and put your name in there. If I put my name in there, Karen is not just body, but also soul and spirit. And Karen was spoken from the lips of God and then breathed into by Him and can only be fully understood by the Spirit of God, her Creator. Put your name in there. Because, and then you'll understand, you know, why you have to draw close to Him, why you need Him, because you're going to be the person on the lawn with the vacuum, because you don't know your Creator, and you don't know how you're supposed to function. You don't know where you're supposed to be. So you're out on the front lawn, and you're a vacuum, and you should be in the house on the carpet. So again, just understanding the Creator. You were created by the Word, so only the Word can tell you who you really are. Let me say that again. You were created by the Word. So only the Word of God can tell you who you really are. You were spoken into existence by His Word. Your skills, your talents, your temperament, and destiny were set in His thoughts before His Word brought you into the expressive world. Do you understand? He put it all together. You want to know why you can sing? Then you need to ask God, why do I know how to sing so well and other people can't sing that great? Lord, why do I have a talent? Why can I do this so easily and it takes other people? He puts gifts and He puts talents. Some people are really smart in business and numbers, and other people just struggle. Oh, because the Creator spoke it all into being. He put you together as a little package. He said, she needs this, and then she needs that. Okay, give her a little bit of that, because she's going to need. And then we are born, and we are trying to figure out, you know, as they are, kids are in their teens, in their early 20s, trying to find myself. Just go to the Creator. He will tell you who you are, what He meant for you to do. And I'll tell you right now, it is meant for a good purpose. A good purpose. He has good things for you. I know the plans I have for you, saith the Lord, plans for good and not evil, to give you a hope and a future. That is the Creator's promise to you. But you have to go to Him. You have to go to Him to get that understanding of who you are. You will never know who you really are outside of the Creator. And that's why so many people are confused and lost and depressed and act out all kind of sinful things, because the enemy, remember, you're not down here alone. We're not down here by ourselves. Okay, there is an enemy of the Creator. The Creator has an enemy. You know, and as I said, whether you love the Creator or not, Satan is still your enemy. He doesn't care whether you serve God or not. He is still your enemy. He's the enemy of all of humanity. And he will stand by and he will lie to people. And he will lie to them about who they really are. And that's why you see people do all kind of crazy and bizarre things, and how they confuse and they don't know what, you know, what they are, because they're lied to. And they don't know what they are. And you see them doing all kind of, today you see people doing all kind of bizarre things, and like, what? What? God made you. What do you, even we can look and see that that's off. But again, you got to understand the depth of a lie that people can embrace when they don't know the Creator. And all of us are susceptible. All of us are vulnerable. But for the grace of God, go I. But for the grace of God, I would have embraced the lie and I'd be out there doing the same thing that they are. That's why we have to have mercy and we have to pray and lift people up. We are kings and queens who live like paupers. Do you hear me? You are kings and queens. You are children of the Most High God. You are His creation. But many people live like paupers and criminals because they do not know the Creator. Don't know the Creator. And I'm talking, yes, we know the people that don't know Christ live like this. But even as we come into Christ, we're still searching. We're still confused sometimes. And He asks you, come closer. Come closer. The closer you come, the more the light will come on and the more you will understand what you were meant to do. And you can do it. Now the enemy's going to fight you. He's going to fight you, try to keep you afraid, trying to keep you from coming close to God, trying to keep you telling you all kind of lies. Oh, it doesn't take all that, and you don't got to be praying all the time, and you don't have to pray every day. What do you... He's a liar. He does not want you to draw close, because once you draw close and the Creator starts to speak to you, hallelujah, there's a place where you come by from behind the veil. And oh my goodness, it is so clear. He makes it so clear what you were created for and what you were created to do. And it will be such a joy to your heart. It's not going to be something that you're going to, oh my God, I can't believe. Is that it? It won't be like that. I'll tell you, it won't be like that. You're going to be like, oh God, me? Really? You made that for me? You chose that for me? That's what it's going to be like for you. But you got to draw close to Him. Draw close to the Word of God, the Word. I tell you, study that Word. You can't imagine how can this ancient book that's been around for thousands of years speak to you in 2017. It can, because remember, it's the Word of God. Whatever He says is perpetual, just like the earth is perpetual. Summer, spring, summer, winter, spring, fall, summer. I mean, it just keeps going and going and going. You know, you look out in the wintertime, like everything's dead. You know, nothing, no leaves. No... Come springtime, oh man, because He spoke it. Oh, those leaves coming back. Those leaves are coming back. Oh, spring is coming, folks. You can't stop spring because the Creator spoke it at the very beginning of time. Let the earth bring forth fruit after its own kind. Let it bring forth. So He does that. Same thing with you. He already spoke you into existence. He spoke you, and all the stuff that is within you is there. He's just waiting for you to draw close. Draw close to the sun and watch you just spring forth. Spring forth. There is no mediocrity in God. You're not mediocre in God. All of you are blessed and destined for great things in the Lord. So as we go further in our lesson, the next point says, the spirit part of the human, the Creator reserved just for Himself. You need to get this part. Please get this part. The spirit part of the human, the Creator reserved just for Himself. Remember, we were body, soul, and spirit. It is the place where only He, Christ, can dwell within His creation. No one else and nothing else has the key. Only the Creator has the key to live within your spirit. This was an act of love by the Creator to preserve a special part of every man, woman, and child just for His dwelling. Do you understand that? The holding place for our salvation. Oh, man. Do you understand that? When He created you, He created within you a place that is the holding spot for your salvation. Even before you knew Him, He's like, that spirit is there. It's empty right now, but nobody can get in there. Even people that are demon-possessed. You know, the demon-possessed, they can't get into the spirit. That's why demon-possessed people can be delivered. Because the Holy Spirit can come in and dwell in that part of you that only God can dwell in. You know, and the Holy Spirit comes into that spirit part of you. And I tell you, those demons have to go. Those demons have to go. I lost my mic. Those demons have to go out of there when the Holy Spirit. And if you are a believer, no, you can't be possessed by a demon because the Spirit, the Holy Spirit is there. But they can whisper around you and try to get you to obey what they're saying. And that's why you got to know the word of God. You got to be in prayer to rebuke those things in the name of Jesus, that spirit that lives within you. And they were like, oh man, she knows how to use her weaponry. She knows how to rebuke us in the name of Jesus. So you got to get that there is a part of you, the part of the spirit. That's why don't stop praying for people. I don't care how bad they are. I don't care what they're doing. You don't stop praying for them because that holy guest room, if you will. That's what I'm calling. I'm going to call it the holy guest room. It's sitting there. We're just waiting for the occupation of the Holy Spirit, the creator of all things. So the human heart searches and searches for fulfillment for that void within his or her spirit. And he or she will only find it in the creator. Hallelujah. Many will knock at the door of the spirit, the holy guest room, but only the Savior, the Creator, has the key. That's why people will try all kind of things and won't be satisfied. But when Jesus comes, that's it. You know, like you've had a cool drink of water. You ever been really thirsty, had that cool drink of water, and you go, ah. That's the way you feel when Jesus comes in. You see it down at the altar. When people come down to the altar and they give their life to Jesus Christ, you can just see their whole countenance change. It's like their whole being says, finally, he's there. Finally, the spirit part of me that was empty now is occupied by what it was designed for. He is there, and now I can move forward in what he has for me. The next point says the creation was made perfect. Spoken perfectly from the word of God, but sorrowfully, the creation chose a lie over the truth, and in doing so, emptied its spirit of the word of God. See, that's what happened. See, in the beginning, when Adam and Eve were in the garden, the spirit was there. Holy Spirit was there. They were created. God breathed the breath of life into him, and man became a living soul. And the Lord, God told them, if you eat that tree, you will surely die. And what did they do? They ate the tree, and yes, they did die. They got separated from God, and that is death. Spiritual death is when you are separated from God, and that's what happened in the Garden of Eden. They were separated, and the spirit became empty because there was a separation there. So we go forward from then until today, the creation searches to fill that void once occupied by its creator. The human being has tried many other things to fill the void of the spirit, but nothing satisfies that longing except the spirit of the creator. Folks, that, you know, that's why people get drunk. That's why people get high. That's why they engage in all kind of acts, trying to satisfy something that they can't satisfy. They try to dull their senses so I don't have to think. And I don't have to feel my pain. So I want to just dull my senses. And that's why people do all kind of things. They do all kind of things to dull the cry of the spirit. Their spirit wants, was longing, and it can't be filled. They try to numb the emotional pain in their soul brought on by being a corrupted creation with a spirit that is void of its creator. So that's our situation, folks. That is the situation of those that don't know Christ. That's the situation I was in. A corrupted creation void of the spirit of its creator. So I was doing all kind of things, trying to fill, and nobody had the key but Jesus. Jesus had the key. And that made the difference. That is what remedied the situation. Just like children long for their parents. When we see what we see in our families, in our lives, it's amazing how God gives us messages even in our children. Children long for their parents. These little kids, they'll play for a while, but after a while they're looking for mama. They're looking for daddy. When children grow up in single parent households, they're looking for that other parent. In the same way we look. We're looking for God. We're looking for God. We may reject him, like, well, why don't you try Jesus? No, I'm going to do this. I'm going to keep doing this. But deep inside, we're looking for our Creator. We're looking for our Lord. The creation longs for the Creator. The next point on your lesson says, Christ's function as Creator, however, is most evident when we refer to him as the Word. He not only made all things, but he is able to even now to make anything. And that's from our book. This is another reason why it's so important to study the Word of God, so you can know what he will make and what he will not make. And this is a very important point, guys, that you got to know. If you know the Word of God, you know what he will and what he will not do. Okay, and if you don't know what he will and will not do, then you may be deceived. In fact, I'm telling you, the deceiver is right there to say you can find God over here, and you can find God over here. And someone was telling me just recently, God is in everything. So why don't we use everything to find God? Pantheism, it's called, is where, God is in everything. And so therefore, what God is in this and God is in that. And that's how people get into all kind of things like divination and witchcraft and all kind of stuff, is because they think God can be found in all kind of things. And they don't realize that the deceiver is right there, masquerading as angels of light, masquerading as dead relatives, and masquerading in all kind of ways to draw them away from the truth of the Word of God. This is why you need to know the Word. The scriptures make it very clear. It says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. You cannot afford to remain ignorant of the Word. You need to study it. You need to know what God will and will not do so you are not deceived. You need to know where he works and where he does not work. God will never do anything outside of his Word. I told people, God is not going to tell you to do something outside of his Word. So you can try and convince me all you want, but if his Word said do not do that, then, God is not going to tell you to commit adultery. No, he's not going to. He tells you right here, thou shalt not commit adultery. So I don't care how much you think the Holy Spirit is telling you to go into this relationship. The Word of God says this. And I say that because sometimes you have to tell people, I'm talking people that are believers. Sometimes you got to tell them, listen, do you know what the Word of God says concerning that? Let's look and read it. And what the Word of God says, we stand on. It is our standard. It is our standard. We don't go outside of this thinking we have a new gospel. There's so many things going on. Not just like I said, the importance of the Word of God, the importance of what God has spoken. I remember a church that I attended years ago, and the pastor started teaching that you don't have to accept Christ because Christ has already accepted you. Yes, absolutely. I mean, I'm like, what? What is that? What are you talking about? But that's what was said. Christ has already accepted you. He loves everybody, doesn't he? So why you don't have to accept Christ. He already accepted you, and that's all that matters. And I was like, oh, my God, how can this happen? Because you got to know the Word of God. You got to know what he has said and what he hasn't said. And this is so important because in the church, we've got to know the Word of God in the church. We can't think just because we come to service and we sit that we know. You got to know. As soon as that hit my ears, I was like, uh-oh. We're in trouble. So again, know the Word of God. know what he will do and what he will not do. We must grasp the fact that our reasoning and logic can be sinful, but he will always remain holy, adhering to his word. So we got to understand that our logic and our reasoning does not escalate over the word of God. Human logic is flawed. Human reasoning is flawed. But the word of God stands alone as the truth. And that's what we always go to. That's our standard. The scripture said that he's the light that shines on in the darkness. And the darkness does not understand it or overpower it or appropriate it or absorb it and is unreceptive to it. And that's St. John 1:5. And we've got to take that word to heart. The light shines on. Christ's light shines on in the darkness. You don't have to worry about anybody doing away with this. They have tried. They have tried. They have tried. They have tried. There are countries that have outlawed this book. And after a few decades, it came right back into... They can't erase it. They try, but they can't. It keeps going on. Why? Because it's truth. And why? Because it's perpetual. Why? Because it was spoken by the creator of everything. And you can't get rid of it. It will always resurface again and again because it is truth. So we know his word and way of doing things will grate against our flesh. I'll tell you right now, the word of God is going to grate against your flesh. Because we were born in sin and we were born to soothe this. We love to soothe this. Oh, this got to feel good. You know, I'm going to tell you, this book here, it's going to mess with this, okay? It's going to mess with this. I'm going to tell you now. It's not going to feel good to obey this all the time. To forgive. Oh, my goodness. Do you know what they did to me? Do you know what they said about me and you want me to forgive? Yes, forgive. Give. Oh my goodness, give? Do you know all the bills I got? Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure. You mean you want me to give it before I see the check that you're going to send? Yes. If he hits your neighbor, strikes you on the cheek, turn the other cheek. Ouch is right. You mean I'm supposed to just let myself be exposed and let them hit me again? Oh, if he said it, you do it. Again, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm warning you. This is going to grate against your emotions and against your flesh. It's not going to feel good to obey this because we were all born in sin. And this comes up against sin in us. Humble? Oh, my goodness. Humble yourself. See, we don't mind sometimes humbling ourselves before God, but it says humble yourselves before God and men. Oh, no. We don't mind humbling myself before God because he's all great and all good, but... before my sister? See, that's the hard part. But that's what this says. I'm telling you, this word, we got to grasp it. As our key verse was, your words were found and I ate them. I took it within myself. He must increase and I must decrease. I must decrease. They're not just words, folks. It's stuff you got to live out. It's stuff your emotions are not going to like. But you got to overcome. And that's why Jesus says over and over again in Revelation, he that overcomes. He that overcomes. Because he knows you've got something to overcome. You got to overcome your pride. You got to overcome your emotions. You got to overcome your stuff that you love so much. But he says, he that overcomes, I will give the manna. He that overcomes, I will do this. He that overcomes, I'll give him a spot next to me. He that overcomes. So you have to realize and keep in your mind, I got something to overcome, and that word is the way you're going to overcome it. That's the way you're going to overcome it. Study it, know it. You know, even we say ignorance of the law
is not an excuse for breaking the law. And one day God will say the same thing. My word was right there for you. You lived in the United States of America. You had the word of God in all kind of fashion. And you didn't obey it. You didn't pick it up. You didn't bother to study it, to read it, nothing. And now you want to stand before me and say, I did not know. You did know. It was right there for you. So again, folks, this is, again, serious business, but we've got to know and understand his name as the word of God. It's unchangeable. It's unmutable. I know it's 2017 and, you know, our society is a certain way, but his word will not change and does not change. We got to hold to it. We got to adhere to it. The next one in your lesson says, Christ was the word and still is the word. He can speak what he wills into your life. What he speaks is governed by his love and his promises. He cannot lie, and he only does what the Father wants him to do. His written word, the Holy Bible, defines for us the meaning or purpose of his express word, all creation, and his word yet to be spoken to fulfill his promises to us, the creation. So you need to learn the Bible, and you need to know the Bible. Know that he cannot lie. I'm telling you, people will lie to you. Satan certainly will lie to you. But the word of God will tell you the truth. The truth that goes into eternity. The truth that will get you into eternity with the Lord. That's why it is so critical and so important. It's not, this is not an option. When you go into eternity, this will not be an option. This is not an option. In eternity, you want to be on the side of this. So again, we want to study this. We want to learn it. We want to know it. Your next point says, to know Christ's written word is to know him as best we can. As we couple his Holy Spirit with his written word, we can dwell in the deeper places of him as the word, the promise, and the oath of God. And again, the oath of God, the promise of God. You don't have to worry about it changing or there's being some clause that you didn't know about. You know, he keeps his oath. He keeps his promises. We are the living, breathing oath of God. He cannot abandon us because he has spoken that he would never leave us or nor forsake us. Do you understand that? You know, and I always think about God, why? Why did you even bother? Oh, because his word. See, we already got the contract now. So he can't leave us now. Even if he wanted to leave us, he couldn't leave us because he's not going to change his word. He said, I will never leave you. Let's read the scripture. The scripture says, for he has said, I will never under any circumstances desert you, nor give you up, hallelujah, nor leave you without support, nor will I in any degree leave you helpless. Nor will I forsake or let you down or relax my hold on you, assuredly not. Hallelujah. So we can take comfort and encourage and confidently say, the Lord is my helper in time of need. I will not be afraid. And here's the question. What will man do to me? Question mark. And that's Hebrews 13, 5 through 6. And I love the way the writer of Hebrews put that in. He just made it so clear. I have said, see, he has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. If Karen said it, you better be watching, okay? If somebody else said it, you better be watching. But he said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I don't care. There's nowhere you can even go in this universe where he will not be there. He will always be there. He's always there. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. And because of that reason, you can ask the question, what will man do to me? You don't have to worry about what people are going to do to you. Because he said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I will be with you. I will be there. And I even after we messed up and we sinned and we disobeyed him and his heart was broken, he still did not leave us. He still was true to his word. Because so even though we changed, he never did. He never did. The next point says, in knowing his name, the word of God, we must understand that just as we can see and feel the physical, tangible world spoken from his lips and know that the world is real, we must also know that the promises he has spoken from his lips are just as real. The hope spoken from his lips is just as real as the physical world we see and live in every day. I'm telling you, folks, what it says is going to happen. I'm going to tell you, he's coming. He's coming, okay? Some people say, well, 2017 and Jesus hasn't come yet. And we thought he was going to come in 2012. And, on December 21st, 2012, we just all felt that he was going to come and he didn't come. I'm telling you, I don't care what has happened. He coming, okay? His love compels him to come. He is going to keep his word. And he's coming. Hallelujah. What he has said is truth, and it is your hope. So you hold to that hope. Because of the word of God, we do not walk on this earth hopeless because of what he has said. Or helpless. Because of the word, we're not hopeless and we are not helpless. Okay? Because we have his word. Speak the word over yourself. I love Beth Moore's book, Praying God's Word. Oh boy, what a powerful book. You want to get some prayers answered in your life? I'm telling you, start praying this. Stop praying what you want. Lord, just bless me, and Lord, just let me win the lottery, and Lord, Jesus, just let me be blessed, let me get promoted. Start praying his word. Yes. Start praying what he says about you. And watch him change your life. Watch him do some amazing things in it when you get to know his promises and what he has said about you. Like, Lord, you said you would never leave me and you never forsake me. So, Lord, as I go into this meeting, Lord, I know you are with me. And I thank you that you're with me because you have said you will never leave me. You'll never forsake me. And go into that meeting in faith and watch him be there. I've been there. Didn't know what I was doing. Okay. Went into that meeting, didn't know what I was doing. And he was right there with me, gave me the words to say. And by the end of that meeting, okay, they were ready to follow the plan. Oh, he's faithful. He is faithful, that promise, folks. He's faithful, that promise. The next point on your lesson says, this is why the writer of Hebrews declared, the Lord is my helper. In the time of need, I will not be afraid. What will man do to me? The word of man is fluctuating at best. Even the best man and woman with the best intentions can only keep their word if the circumstances of this world allows. That's the truth. Isn't that the truth? No matter your mama, your daddy, they can make all kind of promises. People can make all kind of promises to you, but it is only contingent upon if the circumstances of the world allows it. But when God has said something, oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. In profound contrast, the word of our Creator lives outside of this creation. It stands sacred and alone in its truth and power. Nothing of the creation can thwart it or make it untrue. Do you understand that? I know it's already written. As I said, I know it's 2017. But nothing in 2017, 2018, or any year to come is going to make this untrue. It remains true. It doesn't have to change as creation change because his word lives outside of creation. His word spoke creation. So how is creation going to tell the word what to do when creation came out of the word? See, that's logic. It stands sacred and it stands alone in its truth and power. Nothing of creation can thwart it or make it untrue. Therefore, your hope is safe in his word alone. Hallelujah. Now, they said, no matter how evil tries, they will never erase the word of God. And evil has tried. It has tried and tried and tried to erase the word of God. Today, it's trying to erase the word of God. It's trying to rewrite. Even I see some things where people are trying to rewrite history on what happened and what didn't happen. And I'm like, you know, trying to change what our forefathers thought in the country and all this stuff, trying to rewrite history. But I'm telling you, this is going to stand as truth. You cannot erase the word of God. The best that they can do is lie about it. And that's what's happening today. We are surrounded by lies about the word of God, but they can never silence the truth and the existence of the word of God. You can't silence this. It will come shining through. And this is why, you know, I was just thinking about when I was studying this, I was thinking about that time when Jesus came into Jerusalem right before his arrest and his crucifixion was coming. And he came in and they were throwing palm leaves out and they were saying, blessed and celebrated praise as a king who comes in the name of the Lord. The people were saying, peace in heaven and glory, majesty, splendor in the highest heaven. And then the Pharisees, it says here, this is in Luke 19, verse 39 says, some of the Pharisees from the crowd said, teacher, rebuke your disciples for shouting these messianic phrases. And Jesus replied, I tell you, if these people keep silent, the stones will cry out in praise. I'm going to tell you, if we stop praising him, we stop doing our praise and worship, the stones are going to cry out because you cannot silence the truth of the word of God. He already said the Messiah was coming. And they were trying to silence them. And Jesus said, if these would be quiet, the rocks are going to cry out. Because this is what the word of God says concerning the praises to God. It says in Psalm 19, 1 through 4, it says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and the night and night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. I'm telling you, if we stop praising, honey, the heavens are going to declare the glory of God. The rocks are going to cry out, Jesus said, because you cannot silence the word of God. Somebody's going to be praising. The earth itself will always praise the Lord. The next point said his word upon our lips is so important. When we pray in God's promises, when we speak what God's word says, declaring its truth and its resulting hope in a particular circumstance, there is creative potential present. And that's from our book. I love that. When you pray in his word, don't you understand? You're praying creativity. You're praying his creativity. I don't care what the circumstances is. I know you say, oh, it's too bad. It's too terrible. You don't know what happened and this happened. Start praying his word because you're praying the creativity of God into the situation. As I said, he makes all right. He created all right. So he will do that, but you need to pray it and bring it into your situation, into your circumstance. When the word of our Creator is in us, we spread his creative potential within the creation. In his name, the word of God, we can speak those things that are not as though they were. We can speak the creative hope into a lost and dying world. Folks, we're in a lost and dying world every day. Can you not speak his creative hope into the world? Into your workplace, into your family. Speak it. Pray it. Pray the word of God. And you're praying his creativity. And watch the situation change. I'm a witness. He will change the situation. Sometimes it's not the way we think it should have changed. But Lord, I wanted you to do it that way. Trust it. Trust in what he's doing. Sometimes some folks will have to leave, but trust it. You're praying and praying, and all of a sudden so-and-so wants to leave. Let so-and-so go. Because he's creating. Remember, there's always free will. You know, so even as you start praying over your circumstances, he will take care of you, the one that's praying. But sometimes he'll be shaving off some things and you didn't want to let go of that. But he's like, that has to go if I'm going to do my work. And you have to trust him. I tell you, you got to trust this. Trust the word of God. Lord, I'll stay with you. I'll stay with you. Everybody else can go. You know, but I'll stay with you. As the scripture said, let every man be a liar, but let God be true. And I stay with the truth of who God is. The word of God lives and the word of God speaks. So we can know that. Okay, all right. So any comments or questions? Sorry, my mic died.
I've got a lot of
okay. Yeah.
Just talking about the rough times and the difficult times. Those are the times that we just naturally, or it seems I do anyway, I naturally gravitate towards the Lord and just hang on for dear life.
Yeah.
Because there's no other way that you can make it through situations.
Uh-huh.
And I have I always remember a little pastor that used to, Pastor Heath, when he had his class, he was just strictly by the book, but he already told us that he never knew a mother's love. He was raised by a father and a stepfather. Mm-hmm. And he says he used the analogy that when he was in trouble with his father, and the father would get the switch, he said he'd get closer to his dad because he knew that if he got closer to his dad, the switch wasn't going to sting so bad.
That's true.
And it's true. But, you know, that's what we do with the Lord. And I'm speaking from my personal experience, and everybody in this room has their own personal testimony. You know, when you're in difficult times,
yes,
you have to turn to the Lord. Otherwise, I mean, I would have been laid out.
Yes, yes.
You know,
me
unable
too
to move.
Uh-huh.
But when the Lord is holding you up and you're hanging on,
mm-hmm,
and trusting him, that's the only way we get through the tough times.
Amen. That's the only way.
The only way.
You know, because people that don't, you know, they get into depression and oppression, and God forbid suicide happens, and all kind of stuff can happen sometimes, you know, but Lord, he's right there,
he's
holding
right there
us up and keeping us and holding us up. So let's hold to him. Let's hold to his word. And I'm so glad we have his word, because you got his promises, and you can look at him like, Lord, I know it's going to be okay. I don't care what the situation is, folks. You can find the answer. I was amazed as I went through some horrible things in my life.
Mm-hmm.
The answers that were in the Word of God,
yeah,
just blew my mind. I was like, I didn't know that was in the Bible, you know, but it was there. And God let me see it and let me know that everything was going to be all right as I trusted in the Word. Anybody else?
I just want to expand on what you said, you know, God says, he'll never leave us or forsake us.
Mm-hmm.
We can comfort us because we're strong and away from it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I shouldn't say this, but I believe my answer is wait. And I know that someday, even if it's when I get to heaven, that I'm going to see Tony again. And the people that we don't get along with on earth, we'll get along with up there because they won't know. And, you know, mm-hmm, the world can't offer us that. They can't offer us that. We'll see him in heaven, even if we don't see him here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
This isn't it, folks.
This
is not it. This is a sliver of eternity.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it just determines where you spend it, you know, but it's just a sliver. This isn't it. This is the dressing room, yes.
Mm-hmm.
This is the airport.
And we go in and close the door behind us so we can get dressed.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
You know, sometimes I think, God has calling on people. And some people tell me, oh, you don't really have a calling because you're home with kids. But people tell me, well, that's your calling, that's your job in life. Because I look at all these kids that have a lot of problems and failures, and they don't have anybody. Their mother and father abandoned
them.
And they would have been the same. They would be abandoned, and, well, they would be in a home, or no one would pay attention to them. So I think, so I'm able to help those. Wow. I think God called me.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely, Margaret.
So I shouldn't feel bad, but it's not a real job.
I think, I believe motherhood is one of the highest callings God could ever call you to.
Because God
is motherhood.
Me.
Yes.
I'm not going to receive my answer tied to heaven, but I will receive it eventually. Yeah. The world can't offer that, that you're going to receive it.
Yes.
You know that it's going to happen. One day.
Mm-hmm. You hold that call. Anybody else? Good. Okay. All right. Well, let's pray then. Lord, we just thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your many, many blessings, Lord God. Father, we thank you for your word, Lord God. We thank you that your word has withstood the test of time, Lord God, through centuries and centuries of human life, Lord. Your word continues to lead and to shine through, Lord God. And I know that it will be here, Lord God, even when you come again, Lord, standing the test of time, Lord God. Father, we just ask that you would help us, Lord God. Remind us of your word, Lord God. I pray that you would prompt us by your Holy Spirit to study your word and to pray your word, Lord God, so that it would become alive and move in our lives, Lord God. Father, we call into this the creativity of your word into our lives, Lord God. Father, I pray that we would not walk around as if we are helpless, Lord, because you gave us your word. You said the word of God, it's a sword. Oh, God, it's a sword of the spirit. It will cut between bone and marrow, Lord God. And sometimes, yes, it can be painful to us, Lord God. But, Lord, I pray that we would embrace it, that we would draw close to you, Lord God, that we would not want to hear the word of God, but that we would hear it and that we would submit to it in the name of Jesus, that we would trust it and that we would obey it. Oh, God, I thank you because you have loved us. And I know you left us your word because you love us. Oh, God, we rebuke the lie that says it is here to restrict us and to keep us from fun or whatever. Oh, God, it is here to save us, Lord God. Oh, Lord, it is here to heal us, Lord God. It is here to deliver us, Lord God. So I pray that we would draw close to it, Lord God. Hold it close to our hearts. Hold it close to our spirit, Lord God, and feed our spirit with it. Lord, we thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.